Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Maybe the defense has to be the middle and the offense has to make up for it this year. The defense.
Well, I agree. I've been talking about that since the offseason.
It's like nobody's allowed to say that. It's like, dude, the defense got depleted. We should hope for them to be 15th. All right. And the offense, who makes all the money, who's the highest paid offense in pro football, has to carry the rest of the weight. Welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Xander Krause. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, here on a Tuesday edition after a lot of news happened yesterday on a Monday. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Tuesday morning, brother?
Yeah, it's always something. Always something. And we get surprise retirement out of left field.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith. So it's funny. I mean, it's not, you know, and the NFL has a funny way of finding your weaknesses, and you see what's happened to the Eagles on the edge, which at the beginning of the year, that's been my biggest concern. And then you lose Nolan Smith, you lose Oboe for the season, and all of a sudden, Za'Darius Smith, who looked like a good signing, gets to the mini bye and says, you know what? I'm going to call it quits. And I mentioned it yesterday for the people that listen in. Bill Parcells had sort of like a list of advice he would give to his assistants that became head coaches. And one that's always stuck to me is, and it's also interesting because the same day I was thinking about Bill Parcells, Nick Sirianni brought him up in his press conference for a different reason, but One of the pieces of advice he said are four or five things are going to happen in the NFL every day that you don't want to happen. And if you can't handle it, you find another job. And this is a perfect example of that. Unexpected. But you got to pivot and you got to deal with it. And teams that do it the best are generally the best teams.
John, why did Za'Darius Smith retire? Do we know? Is it family? Is it team?
It was just described to me as personal, not related to the Eagles at all, which is not coming from the Eagles, by the way. So for all those people.
I'm one of those people. The PR staff loves putting stuff out there. So I figured that was something to do with it. I mean, look, you wait till Sunday or you wait till, week one, John, to sign with the team, you're ring chasing. And he was ring chasing. And then in week six, he's like, I'm not ring chasing anymore. I'm out. I don't know. The other theory I think I have that is more reasonable. I guess maybe you would buy that easier. I don't think he wanted to be a number one edge rusher, dude. I think he wanted to be a rotational piece.
Well, he definitely wanted to be. And he was, he was the number one edge rusher from a production standpoint.
No, and I'm talking about reps, though. I mean, he came here, Nolan got hurt. I mean, he was going to get a lot of snaps, and his snaps went down in recent weeks. I don't think he wanted to get that much playing time, too much on the body at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll buy that. And that's, if his body's not feeling well, I mentioned his family's got young kids. He's very, loves his kids, and not that everybody typically doesn't, but he's over the top with that. Maybe just went home and said, my body's breaking down. Maybe it is more than I signed up for. But yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the perception that the Eagles are a raving mess behind the scenes, which I also don't think is quite true. I think, and again, I think people don't understand how compartmentalized an NFL building is. So the assumption that, he can't, because I've heard this, he can't take Jalen and AJ. He doesn't even spend any time with those guys, defensive players. Very few. You have team meetings.
I also used to talk about that. How you spend most of your time
with
the coaching group. Yeah.
Yeah. It's You talk about things that just are not, are misunderstood. That's a big one. Like, you know, he did not spend a lot of time with those guys and he wasn't here for a long time. And by the way, it's not true that it's a raving mess either behind the scenes. It's obviously there's some issues, but for those who think it's that, it's not that. It is not that, I can say with 100%. Why he walked away, I can't say with 100% other than it's personal, and that's not coming from the Eagles. So, you know, a lot of things can happen in life, man. A lot of things. And I hope it's not somebody sick or somebody, but, you know, a million things can happen. And I think people forget that. But. Well,
whatever might have happened.
From a football standpoint, it doesn't help the Eagles.
No, it does not help the Eagles at all. I mean, he did walk away, so the Birds are, you know, in a much worse spot without him because they were already very thin. You brought up Nolan's out right now in IR. The presumption on Nolan is when? Return after the bye week, so at some point in November. And I know we have the presumption he's going to come back and just be healthy. I don't know if we can presume that. Oboe's out for the year. So you're looking at Josh Uche, you're looking at Aziz Ojulari, Jalix Hunt, Patrick Johnson. I don't know if there's anybody else I'm missing, but I don't know. That doesn't sound like a Super Bowl edge rusher.
No, you know. Well,
but I don't know what you're expecting to do here.
That's on the 53. Yeah, they're going to have to make a move. You know, it's just a question of how splashy that move is. But this has been a situation where, look, I think if Nolan Smith is healthy and Za'Darius Smith doesn't retire, I don't think that group was good enough. I've been honest about that. It's a lot better than it is right now, but I don't even think that group is good enough. So that tells you where you are at this stage. Heading into week seven. You know, in a game where I always talk about quarterbacks that allow, there's certain quarterbacks that will allow you to sack them. And by that, I mean, they're going to hold on to the football. And Carson Wentz is one of those guys. Eagles fans know that. So this would have been a chance for them to get a little bit healthy on the pass rush, get a little bit of confidence. Like Denver against Justin Fields, everybody, that guy's going to take sacks. That's what he does. There's certain guys who take sacks. And now, I mean, it's Jalix Hunt and Josh Uche and Aziz Ojulari and Patrick Johnson.
And who do you expect to start this weekend?
Hunt and Uche. You know, Uche's played well, but
he's rushing passer well, right? But he is pretty limited when it comes to doing, you know, the other stuff.
And he's not a full time player, so again, he's best suited in limited doses, things like that. So the more he plays, probably the more he gets exposed a little bit, especially in the run game. But it's the best you got right now. And he's, you know, let's be honest. I mean, maybe the most disappointing player, not to me, but considered by expectations that I've heard, is probably Kelee Ringo. I mean, but besides Kelee, if you're being honest, and I know a lot of people don't like to be honest, it's Jalix Hunt. I mean, He's not ready to be a starter in this league.
Is that on him though, or is that on the Eagles for getting rid of everybody and going the Teemu route at every freaking position, John? Every spot on defense, they chose Teemu, whether it worked or didn't. Edge rusher, get rid of Josh Sweat, rely on a third round developmental player in Jalix Hunt. Safety, get rid of CJ and go with Makuba. Cornerback, get rid of Slay and Isaiah and go with Kelee Ringo and Adore. Every spot, John. Like, I don't know if they expect
no. That I, yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think it's fair to say the Eagles jumped the gun. I mean, they're the ones who did it. They're the ones who created these expectations. I agree with that. And it's definitely unfair to the kid. You know, if you were,
it could still be a good player one day, but we're all acting like you're, at least, you know, he's not right now. You're not wrong. He hasn't been good. But I think he could be a good player, and now we're
developing. You know, a lot of that
throw him into the fire, you know, at the wrong time.
Yeah, a lot of that depends on how he handles it mentally, to be honest. You know, some guys.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football. Ball fuel points TC
to learn from it and become better players, and some guys just sort of are beaten down to the point that they go in the opposite direction. But I by no means am I saying he doesn't have an opportunity to get better, but there's too much on his plate. Like, this would have been the perfect year for him to be the third or fourth guy. You know, give him a little bit more reps and incrementally ramp him up, be situational. And right now he's number one. You know, injuries factor into that, obviously. You know, Nolan would be number one, and Nolan's fine. But right now, going into this game, Jalix Hunt is your number one edge rusher. And you can go down every single team. Every single team in this league, 31 teams, have better situations at edge rusher than the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
That's pretty crazy to hear you say. There's no doubt about it. How quick do you think Howie will jump on this, John, make a trade? Would it be this week, next week? I
mean, well, he'd like to make it as quickly as possible, because you want to, you know, football is not like baseball. It's not like basketball. It's not plug and play. Although edge rusher is one of those that is a little bit easier, especially if you're only looking for a pass rusher. But Vic's obviously a little bit more complicated. So you want to get it done as quickly as possible, but you also have to, it takes two to tango. You know, if somebody wants to wait and see, you know, I don't know where Miami is. They should be giving up, but I don't know where they are. And if they want to make the move this quickly before November 4th, a lot of people have brought up Jermaine Johnson from the Jets. The Jets obviously stink.
Yeah.
You know, can they give up? Sure. But is it 100%? No. You know,
how big of a move do you think the Eagles are looking to make? I mean, there was conversation they were involved in Micah. Now, we had the full context of that. Dallas probably was never going to do it. Maybe the Eagles never even thought that it really was a possibility. They just wanted to call. That's a big move. You know, Now you're later in the year, so it's probably harder to make that big of a move. But how big of a move, in relation to that, do you think they're looking to make? Or are they looking to make another Za'Darius Smith-sized move?
I think they're looking to make a Jermaine Johnson, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb type move.
Okay, so a little bit more significant.
Yeah. I think they'll be looking to do that because they need a starter. They need a guy who can play, hopefully, when Nolan Smith gets back, if he gets back. They need a guy to pair with him and play most of the reps and then kick Jalix Hunt down to the number three role. So that's what I think they want to happen. But there's also a bunch of teams looking for help. So you're also dealing with San Francisco, most notably. He's on record. They're going after an edge rusher. And so there's going to be big-time competition on that market as well. And that will factor into things. I don't think Trey Hendrickson is a fit for Vic Mangio. I've said that pretty consistently. Not that the other guys are necessarily – you know, sometimes you just have to go. And, you know, Vic might need to be a little less stringent, to be honest. You know, You always want, I want a guy who can do this. Like we go back to Bryce Huff. I want a guy who can do it all. All right. Well, that's off-season talk. Now it's Band-Aid talk.
Tough for me to play. Sorry, but I hear you. I agree with you in the moment right now that Vic is going to have to take on that approach, but I can't put this one on Vic Fangio. They depleted his entire number one one of the best defenses this organization's ever had. That didn't let Mahomes get past midfield for 10 drives. They depleted it, John, because all their money's tied up on offense, and we're still not allowed to talk about the offense. It's the goofiest thing in the world. The 30th ranked the offense. The 31st ranked passing game last year has all the money, and we destroyed our defense. And now here we are looking at, you know, shopping again on the market in week six. Not a good setup. Howie did a bad job this offseason.
The contracts are circumstance. I mean, they're going to get paid, but they have young players on defense. But obviously, they have a core group of guys who are going to get paid. It's just the way the NFL. There's veteran guys get the big contracts, and if you're on your rookie contract, that's why everybody likes to get the quarterback on the rookie contract and hit on that so you can build the rest of the roster. But when you have to pay stars, you know, again, you're talking about second, third contracts, and right now all the second, third contracts are on the offense. That's not a plan. That's circumstance. That's just the way the business works. And that will begin to change when Jalen Carter gets paid and Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell and hopefully Nolan Smith, et cetera, et cetera. And down the road, even start a little bit with Zach Bond, if you want to go way down the road with Jihad Campbell, players like that. That will begin to change and it'll have to even out more. And you'll have to move on from Dallas Goedert officially. You'll have to move on, you know, whether it's retirement or walking away from somebody like Lane Johnson.
I think expectation is part of it too, though. Like even in the fan base, where people expect the defense to be the best defense in the NFL again, and then, but they're not built to be the best. Like maybe the defense has to be the middle. And the offense has to make up for it this year. The defense.
Well, I agree. I've been talking about that since the offseason.
It's like nobody's allowed to say that. It's like, dude, the defense got depleted. We should hope for them to be 15th. All right. And the offense, who makes all the money, who's the highest paid offense in pro football, has to carry the rest of the weight. And they're not doing that at all right now, which is why the defensive struggles are compounding and hurting us more, at least in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, that's, again, if you look at each move individually, I agreed with the Eagles in the fact that, look, Milton Williams is a really good player, but I can't pay him that. Joshua's a really good player, but I can't pay him that. Those guys. Now, where I never said and where I moved away from the fan base dramatically, they're acting like it's not a big deal. And Moore will just step in and Jalex will just step in. Look how long it took Milton Williams to become Milton Williams. Look how long it took Josh Sweat to become Josh Sweat. You don't
having a great year.
You don't just turn it on because it's your turn. You got it. There's a ramp up here. I always talk about skipping steps. That's what people have done with Jalex Hunt. He might be a really good Josh Sweat level player in 2 years. What he wasn't going to be is Josh Sweat in year one as a starter after playing 250 reps. It just wasn't going to happen. Now they wanted, you know, because Isaiah Rodgers is up this week and he's having a great season. They wanted to bring him back. It didn't work out. But they, you know, they planned on losing Slay. They didn't plan on losing both of them. And the pivots have not worked. You know, Keely Ringo has not played well. Didn't play well in the summer. He's not playing well now. Adoree Jackson has not played well. Mac McWilliams isn't ready. I was looking middle of the road defense, at the start, and that's probably where they're going to be. But they played, they overachieved in the first four games. So I think that built a quiet confidence up. But boy, when they lost Jalen Carter and then Quinion Mitchell, you saw something. You were like, oof.
Yeah, I mean, look, they can't expect them to prevail through that. John, what do you think Howie would send right now for an edge? Is it a mid-round pick? Second round? That feels rich to me. Where do you think he'd go here? What do you think his limit would be on this setup?
Well, when you talk about trades, you always talk about contracts first.
Right.
So, I mean, the higher the contract, and I'd have to look at somebody like Jalen Phillips has a pretty big contract. That's obviously going to deter what you send back. You know, Jermaine Johnson, somebody like that, still on this rookie deal, that's probably going to, even though Phillips is better or has been better, I haven't looked into how they're playing this year. That makes that the lesser contract makes that person more valuable. But I would think he'd be willing to go for somebody who can truly be a starter, a difference making, contribute for more than 1 year. He would go as high as a third rounder. You know, and knowing Howie, he will flip it, so he'll get a fourth back, you know, third. Yeah. He'll flip it like that. I think he'd be willing to do that. I don't think there's anybody out there that would demand. The one guy out there that could potentially be traded, but again, it's complicated by the contract, that's a legitimate big-time pass rusher, is Trey Hendrickson. And I don't think he's a fit. I don't think he'd be happy here. I don't think Vic would be happy with him. So I don't even sort of take him out of the equation. There's no Micah Parsons out there.
Yeah.
That you're willing to ship your whole organization.
Trayvon Walker. No, I don't think they're trading him anymore. He's 4. They're 4-2.
Yeah, they're not trading him now. I never thought they would. There was no reason to trade him other than
new regime. That's the whole thing.
New regime, other than, you know, there was.
And they're probably paying already an edge rusher $30 million.
Yeah, but when you have somebody under a rookie deal, you don't have to make that move until the rookie deal's done. Then you have to make the decision. But again, they're a bad organization. And that's why they constantly shift. And hopefully they're figuring it out for their sake. But yeah, there's no other than bad organization, regime change. I don't know why they would have made that deal to begin with, which is what I constantly said.
John, how good does the Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts have to be this year with the changing of the circumstance in terms of last year you had a number one overall running game. You had a number one overall defense, and those things obviously were a big part of the reason the Eagles were able to dominate their way to a Super Bowl. Now with those things not performing what they were a year ago, which none of us probably should have expected them to, as you told us all offseason, how good does Jalen Hurts have to be to kind of make up for that, those changes on the team?
Well, I mean, I think he's played at a pretty high level. Overall. So, I mean, I think the disconnect is people want him to change how he plays. And like, I don't advocate that. I don't think that's something you do to somebody in week 7, a veteran quarterback, and say, hey, you know, we're going to turn you into the high volume passer because we're not running the ball effectively. I think the Eagles have to figure out how to run the ball effectively. I think that's the answer. And there's no reason, maybe it can't be like last year, but there's no reason it can't be. Again, you saw DeAndre Swift last night had a big game. So that's for people that watched that. Yeah, they ran. People forget how good they were running the football with Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift. Why can't you get back to that level?
Offensive line's beat up, man. They look it. I was watching somebody, there's this footer on Twitter, John. It's like football performances or something, and they put up these clips of, like, you know, some of the greatest performances individually. You know, yesterday they posted up Saquon Barkley 2024 versus, I don't know, the Rams or something. You know, the holes that he was running into last year.
I know. Well, I told everybody that last year.
They were like, they were gaping. They were huge. It's not the same. So it's just like, I don't know. If you don't have that, are you telling me then then you're kind of cooked? You know what I mean? Like, what if we can't run the ball?
I don't think it's
what if we run the ball like the other teams in the NFL run the ball?
Well, and again, it becomes more difficult, and you're a 10 or 11 win team, and a bunch of teams which are good. There's nobody great out there.
No,
they were like Buffalo. They're not great.
No, they're not.
You saw that last night.
They looked brutal last night.
Who's great? You mentioned Tampa Bay as your top team in the NFC, which I have no issue with. You can certainly pick them. They're not great.
Well, no, they are right now. I mean, they're 5-1, and they're prevailing. They've had injuries on the offensive line. They've had injuries to running.
Well, and they persevered well, but I don't look at them and say they're a great football team. They're a good football team. And they've done a good job persevering. And that's what I say about everybody. The Rams, they're good. They're not great.
It's fair.
Detroit, they just got spanked. They're very good offensively.
Yeah.
Dealing with the same injuries. Green Bay has been a disappointment to me, although they played great defensively. They're good, but they're not great. And the Eagles are just in that category. They're good,
yeah,
but they're not great.
Well, speaking of the run game, it's got to become good, not awful. You know, right now it's pretty bad. So,
well, yeah, it's got to get to the level they were sort of pre-Saquon. If they can do that,
right,
I think they'd be fine.
That makes sense.
And it's interesting. You know, individually, the guys are playing well. Jordan's playing well. Lane's playing well. Tyler's playing well for his, effort, you know, for his experience level. Landon was not playing well, certainly from his standpoint, from his typical demonstrated performance, and that I think is injury related. And Cam has not played up to his performance, but it's still been okay. And even Brett Toth has got some nice grades, at least in short term. So, again, when you compare it to the rest of the league, it's not quite as bad. But for whatever reason, they can't get the running game going.
I had somebody send me a stat yesterday. I don't know. What do you think of Pro Football Network?
I think they spam my inbox, which is annoying. But, they're fine.
No, I don't know. Somebody sent me them, and they're like – because they were like, the Eagles' offensive line is ranked 27th. And I'm like, where are you seeing that? And somebody sent me the article. They weren't lying to me. They are ranked 27th on Pro Football Network. Now, I don't know. I don't know how they're using the gauge.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it, but that is not the case. They are not the 27th best offensive line in the NFL. You know, some of those fledgling outlets like to hot take it, so they get some retweets and aggregation. I mean, just watch football. I mean, there are a bunch of bad offensive lines out there.
Yeah, did anybody watch last night? There was some bad football on last night. The Bills looked terrible. The Commanders blew the game. By the way, and we'll talk about that. That'll be our second segment today. We'll talk about the NFC East. Great results for the Eagles this weekend after dropping a game to the Giants. The Cowboys lose on a field goal to the Panthers. And then the freaking the last night, the Commanders drop a game to the Bears. I mean, just great results for the Eagles in the NFC East last night.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just looking at PFF. Entering week six, Denver number one, Indy number two, which is right, Buffalo number three. I think they're a little bit overrated. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia number four, maybe shouldn't be that high, but that's what they are. Kansas City number five, they stink. San Francisco six, they stink. Arizona 7. They stink. There's like three or four good offensive lines in this league.
Where were the Eagles? Four?
Fourth. Like to say, I'm going down to the bottom five because they had them at 27. The Saints are 27. Raiders are 28. Texans are 29, who are an abject disaster. Cleveland's 30. They used to have a good offensive line, too. That's disappointing. Miami's 31. Cincinnati's 32.
Garrett's a little over there.
There are so many bad offensive lines in this league. And, yeah, Philly fans have been spoiled with just how good the offensive line has been. And now they're sort of just good instead of last year, historically great. But, I mean, if you look at each individual, you know, Jordan, top of the list. Lane's top of the list. Tyler's top 20, believe it or not. Cam's 16, so middle of the road. Toth is 22 in limited sample size. There's a lot of shitty offensive linemen in this league. The problem with the Eagles is a lot of penalties, a lot of pre-snap stuff. They get behind the sticks, and they're, as Lane said, and I asked Nick about that yesterday, they're too predictable as far as getting in situations, which I think is, in other words, you know, they probably need to throw it a little bit more on first down to, you know, cross some people up. If it's, you know, second and 15, people know they're going to throw it. Maybe run a draw in. I know that's not going to work well with people, but, you know, do something that isn't expected. But a lot of that has to do with getting behind the sticks all the time. And they have to stop shooting themselves in the foot from that standpoint. You know, the minute this team gets a tackle for loss, you know, it's like the drive is over. It's always difficult to come back from second and 13. But I mean, you got to do it occasionally. You got to figure out a way. And maybe the way is to go right back to the run when they're expecting pass or vice versa. So that's what they need. But anybody saying this league is, you know, the Eagles are bottom five in offensive line in this league. Yeah. Stop spamming my inbat box, Pro Football Network.
John has officially added them to the shit list.
I mean, there are so many bad offensive lines in this
league. I know.